talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today. The Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's time for the Exchange Club here on WGH Talk Getaway Friday, Friday, February 23rd, 2024, last Friday in the month of February. Next Friday is March the 1st. Big day for us here, and we're going to tell you more about that starting on Monday. Actually, the 29th and the 1st will both be big days for us, so stay tuned starting on Monday morning, 18 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Pastor Craig and Matt Morgan. Pastor Craig's program, Study His Word, comes up after this. Pastor Craig, what's on tap today?
Today we're going to talk about Joseph.
There you go. And next week, do you have anybody lined up for the What's Happening, Marion? I'm sure the solar eclipse people are lining up.
I commented today we're not going to talk about the solar eclipse. We're just
giving it
a break for a while.
We got to let it lay, like Taylor Swift in the Super Bowl. We got to let it lay.
Got to let it lay.
Do want to give some news and notes to people here. The Root Beer Stand opened today. Stewart's Root Beer opened up their 99th season, Marion's longest running restaurant. They have great service there. Great group of kids work there. Great owner, Michelle, and they opened at 11 o'clock, so they've been open an hour. Go down there and get your root beer, diet root beer chicken sandwich, and curly fries. That's what I go for there. So Stewart's Root Beer opened for their 99th season. Want to thank Sansodas for the food the other night we had during the Exchange Club taping. Very, very good food, was it not, Matt? You don't even like pasta.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Italian food, but, you know, I really like chicken Alfredo, and, you know, Sansodas has some good chicken Alfredo.
If I had known that...
You should have been here.
If I had known, I would have crashed your party the other night because, I love Sansodas.
I know. They are delicious.
Oh, yeah.
I say, and I'm not a big Italian person either, but... I don't even say best Italian in Marion. I think that sells them short.
Yeah.
To me, it's one of the best I've ever eaten.
Yeah.
If not the best, as far as food, you know, it's not fat, but restaurant food.
Right.
Do want to mention, we do have a top five list today. Bob is still very busy with his career. He's not just our top 10 writer. So, but he did send us a top five list because Leap Day is coming up. And I believe the only other thing we want to mention here is maybe something we'll get to in the topics portion of today's program. But I did want to mention Matt's show has not been on the last couple weeks because last week, he did the Chase Oliver interview that aired in a special time, so that's why there was no show last week at 10 a.m. This week there wasn't because we weren't sure if you were going to get back, and Jessica was here because you were coming back from a trip in Lake Erie. There won't be one next week, we don't think, because of the Mary Ellen, but there could be.
There could be, depending on what time we get back.
Depending on what time we get back from an event that morning. But the week after that, it will for sure be back.
Absolutely, yes.
There you go.
I don't think that far ahead.
Yeah, I know. That's a lot of preemptions there. But, Pastor, what did you make of the Chase Oliver interview?
I haven't heard the whole thing.
Did it put you to sleep?
Now I can't tell a lie.
I cannot tell a lie. Well, it was on at 10 p.m., I understand.
And I was sitting in my reclining chair, and I was listening. I stayed up for it, And then the next thing I knew, it was like 2:30 in the morning, and I was still in my reclining chair.
But it was 10 o'clock.
Yes,
after
it was.
A long day, yes. You did radio. You got up very early that morning. I mean, that's not understandable.
Right.
That's not a knock.
Yeah, I know.
You listened to a little bit of it.
Yes, but I am going to go back and hear the whole thing. I will do that.
Right. So that's all that. So I think we've done all the housekeeping now. Let's just do the top five list so I don't forget it, because I'm afraid I'm going to get to the end of the program here and not remember it. And it has to do with something coming up this week, which only happens every 4 years, and that is Leap Day. So here we go. The top five list from the home office in Columbus, Ohio. Top five noteworthy things to remember about Leap Day, February 29th, 2024. Number five, people born on Leap Day are called leaplings. Did you know that? Leaplings?
I did not know.
I did not either.
I didn't know.
Number four, the first arrest warrants for the Salem witch trials were issued on February 29th.
Okay.
Well,
that's good.
There you go. Number three, get married on February 29th, so you only have an anniversary every 4 years.
No, I like that one.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Less divorces that way. Number two, for the prisoner serving time, there is no credit for Leap Day.
Aww.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they get credit for it? Terrible. And the number one noteworthy things to remember about Leap Day, February 29th, 2024. Number one, 9 months after, 9 months later, there is always a baby boom. Is there?
I don't know.
Now, see, when I was reading that, I had to look at it before I read it because I was confused. I understand these are comedy. I get that. But, I mean, is Leap Day the day that people...
I guess...
Okay.
You got to celebrate it some way.
Do people celebrate Leap Day?
No.
I didn't even know there was a celebration going on.
You know, how do they count birthdays from people born on Leap Day?
Well, usually what they do is, you know, I mean, every year you get a year older. And I knew two people that had a leap.
Do they celebrate it on the 28th, or do they celebrate
it
on the 1st?
They usually celebrate it on the 1st. Usually they do it on March 1st. And then they, you know, kind of do an extra special when the 29th comes along.
That's neat.
Now, here's a topic that we haven't talked about anywhere else. And I kind of like this because we spend a lot of time at the Bratwurst Festival. I've covered the Bratwurst Festival for many years now. And we were just, all three of us were there last year covering the Bratwurst Festival. And I'm sure we'll do it again this year. But apparently there's a big old hubbub over in Bucyrus right now concerning the Bratwurst Festival.
Really? I had not heard.
Yes, because that's why we listen to this station. This is one of those stories you won't hear at 1 o'clock. One of those. But every so often you zing one in. I love that spot, though. Every time I hear it, it's there's something that goes through my mind every time I hear that spot. That's an iconic spot now.
There we go.
There you go. The Bratwurst Festival has always been somewhat funded by the city of Bucyrus, and the city of Bucyrus is... The way I read the article, I wasn't at the city council meeting, but it seemed as if they have pulled their funding from the Bratwurst Festival, which is causing are threatening to pull it. So maybe I should put it that way right now. Threatening to pull it, and this is putting the Bratwurst Festival in a big bind. And the president of the Bratwurst Festival spoke to city council and says, listen, we bring a lot of people in. We need this help. And there's a big hubbub going on.
I would think they would bring a lot of money to Bucyrus.
Yeah, I was just saying, if anything, they could almost increase funding, make it a bigger event, and attract more people.
Yeah. I mean,
like it's already a pretty big thing over there.
It's a big event, but I think what the city is, you know, we pay for extra security, we pay for the police officers, we pay for the city, the street cleanup, and I think that's what they don't want to foot the bill for anymore because they're probably looking at other festivals and saying the cities don't do that. And they have an office downtown. We don't have a popcorn office. I don't see too many festivals with offices.
How does the festival itself like collect finances somehow? Like, do they make money?
Well, off their event. I mean, they get a portion of the food trucks. They get a portion of the vendors.
Well, but
they get all the vendor money, I would imagine.
Yeah. I don't know the specifics of the finances, but I think on the surface, it looks to me like the city of Bucyrus is making a big mistake. I mean, it's a big deal. And, you know, I would think it benefits the city. It has to benefit the city.
It does, but I guarantee you somebody on the city council over there looked at other festivals and said, they don't do it. Why are we doing it?
Right.
It just takes one person with something, you know, a burr in their bonnet, and then you get this sort of thing.
Yep. That's probably true.
You know, I'm sure that the Bratwurst Festival, you know, the whole like committee building they got over there, I'm sure they could manage to pull it together if funding was lost. But I think it like Pastor Craig said, I think it would be a detriment to the city because I don't think it just wouldn't be able to be as big because like all of a sudden they have extra charges.
You know, for a long we're gonna take this call first and then we'll come back and deal with what we're dealing with here. Go ahead, caller.
Happy early birthday!
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. How about you?
Well, I've had a terrific. Have you been listening? I've had a terrific morning.
Yeah, on and off. Yeah, I've been pretty busy.
What have you been busy doing?
Just work, and I went to lunch and stuff.
Well, hey, you got to tune. I know you tune in every morning, but you got to tune in heavy next week because we're going to be introducing some of these Mary Ellen events, and some of them are open to the public. You'll have to come out to some of these.
Okay, sounds good. Have a good show.
Thank you. Bye bye. All right, and phone lines are open, by the way, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I used to think that Bucyrus was like this beacon community, because they are very easy to deal with over there when it comes to the Bratwurst Festival, and the Bratwurst Festival was this beacon event, and I'm not saying they're not, but boy, there has been more drama involved with this festival in this city than anywhere in the last few years. I mean, the whole issue that went down with the Queen, I think just 2 years ago, where they sent the Bratwurst Queen out, because, and the particulars of this story were, she had like 2 weeks left on her reign, and the board got angry at her because she went to a party wearing her sash that she wasn't supposed to go to, and so they let her go 2 weeks, they couldn't wait 2 more weeks. That was a big drama at the time. And then it actually got like Ohio attention because it was so ridiculous. And now we got this. I mean, I don't know what's going on over there. They used to be such a just a quaint little festival, and now they're drama, drama, drama.
Sounds like somebody who's got a problem has gotten involved.
Well, I don't understand. They're the easiest people to work with, and I just cannot. That's why we've always covered that, and not the Popcorn Festival, because they're just so easy to deal with. Yeah. And it is a nice festival, and the dirndls and the queens stop for media appearances and all that.
It's the cleanest festival in Ohio.
That's what I understand. I've heard that at least 70 times that day that we were over there. But I just don't understand. That's why. It's because the city pays for that. That's what's going on. Now we know.
Yeah, now we're going to lose that. It's going to be,
Central.
Like every other festival.
Just trash piled up everywhere. But this is sad in a way that I don't... Is the city of Bucyrus in trouble financially that they can no longer support this after years?
I wouldn't think.
So what's the problem?
I don't know. I think that maybe... I mean, somebody on the board for the Bratwurst Festival always could have just upset somebody at the city council. And then in which case, now there's a personal thing going on there.
Well, I think that's probably more likely.
Yep.
Or sometimes these people get elected to these positions and that we're going to find a way to cut the budget so I can look like I cut the budget.
Right.
And I don't know that this is the best place to be cutting the budget.
I don't think so. Your showcase event that you have. Everybody.
Yeah, the biggest thing you do every year.
What is Bucyrus known for? The Bratwurst Festival.
Right. Right. I mean, what is the point of this, really? I just think it's very, very, very silly.
Well,
but
hope they get it worked out.
So do I. And I'm. Maybe we'll talk about this tonight, because Carrington was at the Bratwurst Festival with us as well. This is an interesting topic, I think.
She ate her first bratwurst there.
She did.
She'd never had a bratwurst.
She was a bratwurst virgin until she showed up at the Bratwurst Festival this year.
That's right.
Well, that's
and boy,
that.
Did she eat it.
Yeah, she did.
She is a big eater. I don't know how she stays... pencil thin.
I think she just got like that metabolism that's working on like quadruple overtime.
But because she eats.
I walked over to the booth, got the bratwurst for her, walked back across the street. I handed it to her. I turned and said something to Matt, and by the time I sat down in my chair, she was already
gone.
Gone.
She was gone.
Consumed.
Well, to think about it, we really got highly acquainted with her because she stopped and had a fried Twinkie.
Yeah.
Now that I think about that, it's not out of the ordinary, because I think she would eat pocket lint if you offered it to her. But at the time, I remember thinking, this is an odd thing that she's willing to try this fried Twinkie. But now...
From people she didn't even know.
People
at that
she didn't
time.
Really know. You're right. Didn't even know her name. I forget what names we called her when she first sat down.
I got Mackenzie.
Mackenzie. I think I called her Candace or something. I couldn't remember. But... In any, that's neither hither nor yon. Tune in tonight, 8:15 to 10, and we'll discuss that among other things tonight. But let's see. There's really not a whole lot going on in the news, which is locally or. Well, let's talk about this Marian Icon thing.
Yes.
Because I think that's worthwhile.
Yes.
As I pointed out to Pastor Craig during the break, I read to him somewhat the article, so it's not a fictitious article that appeared in the newspaper in the last week, and I did, it was the last week, where they were referring to somebody as a Marian icon. and you didn't know who they were. I don't really know who they are. And this is what, listen, I'm not saying I'm cheesed off. I'm really not. It's just I think that it diminishes the people who are icons. And even the list we gave earlier, I went along with it when we were naming people off. But now that I had to think for an hour, not again that they're not good people. I'm not even sure all of them would qualify as icon. I think icon is something else. It's a different category. Well-known. We got to stop calling everybody icon. We just Googled Marian Icon and people came up and we sat here and that person's not really an icon.
I think, true icons, you probably could count them on one hand.
You should, like Mount Rushmore.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's right.
That's right.
We shouldn't be able to just anybody who was well known run them off.
Right.
So let's say we had to do Mount Rushmore. Let's do a hand. Okay. Who are the Marian icons? The real Marian icons. Got to go way back first because those are the ones we tend to leave out.
Right. It's got to be President Harding.
Got to be President Harding. He's got to be there.
You could put Eber Baker.
I think he founded it,
yeah.
Yeah, and he lived a long life, and we've parked our cars on him during the popcorn festival, so I think he deserves to be an icon.
And they don't really know if he's really buried there or not.
Right. That's one for Mythbusters. Bring them in on that one. But so we got those two, I think, are givens. Now, sadly, I don't think we put Florence on there because I think she just kind of goes hand in hand with Warren. And
they're just kind of like, two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. And then also, I don't even think we put Norman Thomas, even though he's the other person in Marion who's got a historical marker, famous socialist president candidate, because I think he didn't do that in Marion.
Norman Thomas.
Now,
don't Google during the show. Wait,
I'm just going to write it in my notepad so I don't get to Google it.
I'll tell you his name. I won't forget it.
Now,
Norman Thomas.
One name that probably a lot of people would say, yes, he was an icon because of his impact on Marion, and that would be Huber.
Now, that came up the other day. Now, see, though, I don't know because there were a lot of business people who were big in the community, who I don't know if he was bigger than the others. Okay. I don't know. People will say I'm partial here. I got to say Madge Cooper. Because Madge was a great philanthropist. The Guthrie Room at Ohio State is hers. She certainly had her own radio career before women did that in 41 she started. And she did things outside of Marion. I mean, she won the Franny Award, Fashion Reporters New York Award. She wasn't just a local broadcaster. She was in the who's who in women in television and radio for years. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I don't think it's possible to leave Mary Ellen off this list.
Right.
So there's four. Who's the fifth?
And see, now you start throwing out any more names, and then it's going to be up for debate.
Now, is anybody going to you can debate this. Mary Ellen, Madge, or are we good with those?
Yeah, I think we're good with those.
Okay, so who's the fifth? I tend to slide toward Doc Brown.
Yeah.
You could go with either him or Jack Kellogg.
Jack Kellogg, I certainly think, deserves it. So there, I guess, are your icons. But now everybody's an icon. All you got to do is...
I think that the longer you wait, the more icons there are going to be. Because, do icons just drop off over time?
Well, that's the other thing, too. I think part of being an icon is 50 years after you're dead, are you still big?
Right.
Or have you been forgotten?
Well, and I also think it's being a... That's why, honestly, one of the reasons I put Madge on that list... Madge started in 41. There was no television. There's no internet. Radio is king. It's the first radio station in Marion at that time. And this is pre-World War II. To put a woman on the air, that wasn't happening. And to have her pave that, by the 60s, she's getting awards in New York for covering fashion from this station in Marion, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also, by the way, the first person to go in the Radio Television Broadcasters Hall of Fame from Marion. So she'll always have that distinction.
Yeah, no argument here.
So I think if the broadcaster, she's going to be the icon. The politicians.
Harding.
Female politicians, hate to separate it that way, but certainly Mary Ellen. And who else did we have on that list?
Ebert Baker.
Ebert, founder.
We
had with him.
Jack Kellogg.
And Jack Kellogg, I guess, falls into a political category. But, you know, Jack Kellogg's iconish nature, number one, longest serving mayor for a long time. But also, Jack Kellogg was a, his personality helps. He would cross the aisle. And I think now we think that's so foreign. And he really did. He worked with Democrats quite a bit. So,
I think that's half of the game almost. Like half of the people you're going to work with in the politics are going to be the opposing party.
Now we're not saying there can't be more than five icons. I'm sure there are people who we said earlier that now have been left off the list. I'm just saying that it'd be hard to not make a case for those five.
Right. But the point is, it is too easy to overuse that word, to overuse that classification, to throw people in there when they're not really.
Well, I just look at those five people, and I think, boy, they all had to face adversity. Founding an area, that was no small task. Becoming president of the United States, that's no small task. Becoming treasurer of the United States as a woman, starting in 1969, your career starts, that's no small task. First woman in broadcasting, even before there's television, prior to World War II, that's no small task. And being a superintendent of the biggest school district in the area, a mayor, a county commissioner, and a city council person, all in one lifetime, that's no small task. So, you know, if anybody can make a better case, let me know.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, adversity is part of it. But it was interesting how Jessica was making the case earlier that, you know, we don't, you know, iconize like a mother of 18. Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. But we're not saying it's easy or easier at all. It's just different fields beget different things. There's something, and it's hard to explain this to people because it sounds egotistical in a way, but there are just certain fields to where you are impacting people you're not even aware of.
Right.
The mother of 18, not saying that can happen, but is likely not happening.
Well, and to there are other fields where because you're in that field, you get much more notoriety publicly. I mean, you're in the public eye, whether it's broadcasting or whether it's politics. You're in the public eye. The mom of 18 kids, while she may be doing a fantastic job, she's not in the public eye.
No, and the public eye, and this is why public people usually take up charities and things, because they can do that because they're in the public eye. But you have to be successful, so there's that too. Go ahead, caller.
The icons of the panel that's talking immediately right now, you know about Mary Ellen Withrow? She was a farm girl around here, and then she started in Marion, and then she graduated on up to the position she was in. Now, here's the one thing about the icon part. Do we really consider icons men and women? But because in her day, she fought every inch and earned every inch of that, and nobody else was responsible except Mary Ellen Withrow. It wasn't a business person. It wasn't a founder. It was Mary Ellen Withrow, the icon of Marion. So you want to establish something about people, well, let's start with women first, because they had a big, tough route, and there she is, and she's still around. So we got to think real seriously about the rest of the icons, and I just had to put that plug in. That's my feeling about women and coming up into society. And if we want to settle things in this election and stuff, we got to throw some women in there and get a woman president and a woman vice president, and then let them handle things for 10 or 15, 20 years, and see if there's a turnaround, except, no, it's always the men, and they're the icons, but a lot of women was behind the men that become that also. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, it is interesting. I think that our caller there would put Mary Ellen at the top of the list, and I think sometimes when somebody has a long life and is still with us, we tend not to put them at the top of the list because they're still doing things. You really do have to look at what Mary Ellen did and say, hey, you know, maybe she is at the top of that list. You know, one of the things I used to say about Mary Ellen was she kind of took the ick off of Harding nationally for Marion, Ohio, and national politics, because there never was a negative story about Mary Ellen. And from the time of President Harding and all the negative stories from the woman, from the women to the Teapot Dome, you know, Marion had the ick politician feel, but then here came Mary Ellen, and it was, there was never a negative story. It was all positive. And she did it as a woman in 1969. That was a big deal.
And really, I mean, how many people can say that a former treasurer of the United States of America has swept out their garage?
This is true. This is true. I had an icon sweeping out my garage. It's exactly right. You know, and that's, I was talking, it's weird that, you know, it's a good time to have this conversation. We don't have a lot of big topics this week, but I was talking to Matt about it. I don't think people understand. Again, Mary Ellen's lived a long life, and because she did come back home to Marion after her career, which a lot of people don't, people who don't see her a lot, or people who do see her a lot, she becomes Mary Ellen. I mean, we know what she did, and that's fine, but I don't think people understand that if you took Mary Ellen today and flew her to Philadelphia or took her to Washington or took her to Columbus even, she would be at a convention with a line for people wanting her autograph. I've seen it happen. It's because we see her all the time that it's become more commonplace to us, and that's weird in a way. And I think that in Marion, we don't appreciate it like we should. And that's unfortunate, because when she does go, and I think it's going to be quite a while before that does happen, that will be covered in every paper across the country. You know, this is not a Marion thing.
Right. I agree.
So I hope we don't take it for granted, and I certainly hope we don't take things like next Friday for granted, because that's going to be a great opportunity to celebrate. So, in your feelings, Matt, you were born after Mary Ellen ended her career.
I mean, I didn't know Mary Ellen very well, or I guess at all, when she was in politics, because, oh, as Scott said, I hadn't been born yet, but, I know Mary Ellen more as a, I guess, as a person than a politician, but, recently I was doing some, research when we were doing a taping on Mary Ellen, and she's really interesting. I mean, I think, I read a speech that she gave. I still believe is the only person to hold the, I don't know about any government office, but the treasurer's office at the very least on both the county, the state, and the national level.
I believe it's the only politician, period, to ever serve on local, state, and national level.
Serve on?
I'm pretty sure. Serve at.
So it's not even the fact that she was held the same position for 3 years, just... in all three...
I think she's the only person to be elected at the local, state... Not elected. The only person to serve at local, state, and national. Most people go in a different route, I think. I think that's the thing.
Okay.
Maybe.
But either way, I mean, like, in the speech, one of the speeches that I read, there was like a picture accompanied with it, and she was just listening off. I think it was a hearing when she was getting ready to become national treasurer. She was going over some of her accomplishments, and there was a picture listed next to it. She looked like she was a powerful woman.
Well, it's interesting because in her day, when she was active, she got things done. You don't get those positions by being, a wallflower.
That's true.
That's right. So it worked for her.
Yep.
So hopefully we'll have the big celebrations next Thursday and Friday, and I think we will, and we'll give you more details on that on Monday. Now, what do you make of all the stories this week? You know, we'll just throw all of them out here, all the political stories. We've talked about the Biden memory issues. Now Trump, $355 million in New York fined. Third-party candidates, Jill Stein, Chase Oliver coming out of the woodwork. Harding's grandson, Jim Blessing, endorsed President Trump on Monday morning wholeheartedly. Any thoughts on any of that?
I don't think it was a surprise that Jim Blessing endorsed Trump.
No surprise
no
there
surprise
at all.
There.
But wholeheartedly, I think he said some things that I had not heard before.
Okay.
I think...
were you surprised to which the extent in which he was...
Yeah, he kind of went over what I thought he would do, but that's his right.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting that I pretty much inferred that the last election was stolen. And he likes to compare his grandfather to Harding, and I'm not sure a lot of people make that comparison, but, you know, to each their own.
He compare his grandfather to Trump.
Trump. Yeah. I said Harding. Yeah. Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, when I've heard him before, I always felt he was almost over the top.
Yeah.
And so
that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah.
It just seemed like he was all in on everything.
Right.
And I don't know. That's an odd comparison to me, Trump and Harding, because I look at what they believed in and did, and it doesn't seem to line up very well. Because certainly Harding's wife played a big part in his life, and that's just on the surface.
Yeah.
You think Harding and Trump go hand in hand?
No, I don't. I guess I haven't done a whole too much of research into Trump besides here recently with the court cases and whatnot. But I think that there's not really a comparison to be made there. I don't think that. Harding went around and he spoke to a lot of people and Harding almost overworked himself to, like, he worked himself to death, basically. It seems to be the story that most people get when they come across how Harding died. And, he went around and did a lot of stuff.
He was murdered.
But, like,
his grandson does believe that.
I mean, I don't know, I don't know what Trump did or did not do, but, I mean, he didn't give the multiple speeches that Harding gave. Harding loved to give speeches, like hour-long speeches.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. What I'm getting to already in this presidential year, and we're kind of early in it, but I'm really getting tired of the texts that I'm hearing, because I honestly, does it have to be this vicious? I mean, it's vicious. I mean, I really, listen, I don't know these people personally, but, you know, apparently running for president in 2024 in America, we've got a dictator and a doddering old man. I mean, I just, what? I mean, I just, that's a little much for me. I just.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is, it's ridiculous because, you know, like you said, all you want to hear is, all you hear about is the dictator.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at his 4 years in office and he wasn't a dictator. You know, it's just hyperbole.
But could you, I mean, you listen to this show and I don't know, yeah. But we had a couple of days here, and listen, I'm not trying to misrepresent anything. We had people arguing that a dictator in office in America would be a good thing. Now, I think it's because they're pro-Trump and that's what the narrative is right now, but I couldn't even believe we were having those conversations. I don't,
you know, it's crazy because, you know, if you want to look at it on the other side, you know, you could make the case that we've got a dictator in the White House now, you know, because after he lost a ruling from the Supreme Court on, you know, forgiving college debt, he's figured, well, I'm going to find a way around it. You know, so, I mean, all this talk about dictators, it doesn't apply on either side.
Is the dictator thing on Trump, before we get to Biden's thing here, the dictator thing on Trump, is that a worry generally about him trying to get out of his charges? Because that seems to be how it's always framed to me, that he'll come in and basically he's running for president so he won't end up in jail. That he's trying to beat these charges, and as president, he can do that. And that's something a dictator would do. Is that the? Because I don't understand how you get rid of Congress and the Senate.
Well, see, that's the thing. You don't. You can't. And that's why all this talk about dictator is ridiculous. Even before when he was elected in 2016. Prior to that, leading up to that, there were people that had that concern in, you know, 2015 and early 2016, you know, he's going to be a dictator and he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And, you know, he didn't do any of it because it's not like a person can get elected a president and just become a dictator. I mean,
but also he didn't do himself. He didn't do himself any good by saying it, even in a jest way.
Oh, I think he's created a lot of problems with things he says.
That was a bad move.
No doubt.
But I don't understand sidestepping them. But I think, because certainly Nixon, even though he got pardoned by the next president, had to face his charges. And maybe that's the dictator part of it that people are worried about. I'm not sure. Now, on to the other side. As I was saying, listen, is Joe Biden 81? Of course he is. Would he be 85 by the end of his term? Of course he will. Does he say things sometimes that are off? Yes, he does. But, you know what? I just called Trump Harding a few minutes ago. You know, I think we're pushing this a little too far, just like the dictator thing. I don't think Trump's going to be a dictator. But I also don't think Joe Biden's got Alzheimer's. I think we're taking that a little too far.
I think when we try to blanket that, you know, they shouldn't be a certain age without having to take a mental, you know, a cognitive test, or you can't blanket apply something just because of the age. You've got people that are in their 80s that are across the full spectrum of mental abilities and capabilities. So to base it solely on age, I don't think we should.
Well, what I don't understand in the Biden particular case, apparently the people who are saying this to him have never dealt heavily with anybody with Alzheimer's or even dementia. Because to get him in a suit, and to get him even to have the press conference that he had with those reporters after that, even though he did mess up a name, to even have that press conference would have been impossible with somebody with even mild dementia.
I think that, I don't think that anybody's legitimately arguing that he has dementia. I think it's just another one of those things, like when they call Trump a dictator. I think they're just, like, trying to over-exaggerate the situation.
Right, and I think they're both over-exaggerations, so don't vote for this person is what we've come to. And that's what are we here? Is this it? Because we feel that our candidates, both of them, are not strong enough to win on their own merit. The best thing to do is just say, well, you can't possibly vote for that other person because he's a dictator. You can't possibly, he's got dementia. We can't just say we don't like their policies.
Right, which is what I've said from day one is that, yeah, I'm bothered by a lot of things that Trump says. A lot of things he said have bothered me. But I have always and will always make a decision on him based on his policies. Now, this time around, we have the benefit of seeing what he actually did when he was president. So again, I will say I will make my decision based on the policies. Because if I were basing it on, you know, what the guy says, or, you know, all the things, interviews he's done or whatever, I wouldn't have anybody I could vote for.
Will the vice president mean anything to you?
Vice president?
His
no.
pick.
No.
Does January 6th mean anything?
No. No.
What do you think, Matt? You had the presidential candidate on last Friday.
I did actually ask, I asked him what he thought about somebody with felonies running for president, and he said that he felt that they are fully in their right to do so. Now, he said whether or not that's a good decision of somebody we want running the country is a different story, but he said that he thinks that he's in his right. But
yet, you can't run for office in Ohio if you have felonies, and I don't believe you can vote if you're in prison.
Depends on the felony. I mean, some felons can vote. Well, you can't vote while you're in prison.
But I don't think you can run for governor if you're a felon. I don't think you can. I don't think you run for any office if you're a felon. There's some rules in Ohio that are very.
I don't know because I haven't looked.
We'll have to check it up. But there's some funny rules in Ohio.
But I mean, oh, that's just what he said. But I mean, either way, what was the question? Sorry, I guess my head just blanked there.
We were talking about Trump and Biden, and does January 6th matter? Does the vice presidential pick matter?
I would say that I think that the vice presidential pick should always matter to you. I think that, I mean, like, God forbid that, like, something happened. Like, and I mean, I don't know, like, John F. Kennedy was very young, and he was assassinated. Like, things like that could just happen.
Wasn't it interesting, though, the times that the vice presidents have had to take over, only one of them was based on age, and that's William Henry Harrison, who went out and gave the longest acceptance speech and got pneumonia and died.
A month
later.
Yeah,
and he was the oldest president at that time. But all the other ones have been shot or murdered. Well, all murdered. And they were not old men. Certainly age was not their issue. Kennedy, McKinley, Lincoln.
Yeah.
So, but yet age isn't it. Reagan, oldest president until Biden.
I mean, they were doing the same thing to Reagan, I do believe, towards the end of his presidency. They were actually calling for, what is it, Article 25?
Yeah. Well, it was during, when he was running the second time, he, you know, if you look at some of those moments, he wasn't doing so well. But again, I don't think he had dementia. I think he was just an older gentleman, and he obviously did fine. He filled out his term.
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't
he left as one of the most popular presidents of all time.
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't around during the time period.
I can honestly say, you know, I'm 65, and I can honestly say in the last 3 or 4 years, there have been times where I'm carrying on a conversation, and in the middle of a sentence, I can't think of the word that I'm trying to say.
Well, but
and you know, you kind of come to a stop and have kind of that puzzled look on your face as you're struggling. I mean, it can happen.
But you know, I think sometimes our brain is moving faster than our mouth, and we say things that we don't necessarily mean. Now people call those gaps. But do you want somebody who's totally teleprompted?
No.
I mean, but now maybe you have to be, because if you're not, then people think you're losing it. And that is an age thing. If I do that at my age, or you would do that at your age, people are never going to say dementia. But if somebody does that who's over 70 or 65 even, oh, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I know. It is.
Yeah. Because I don't think Reagan had Alzheimer's or dementia. I don't think Biden has Alzheimer's or dementia. I think it's just, again, the older you get, period, it's just harder to... I think a lot of it's energy, to be honest with you. I don't think you're as energetic as you once were.
I agree.
I mean, Reagan was an actor. If anybody should know how to deliver lines, it's him, or speak in front of groups. But my God, the man was 77 when he left office.
That's true.
I mean, I just brought it up to prove it's not a thing that's, you know, just relevant to Biden. Like, they were doing it before Biden, and then, like, they even, like, I don't know if anybody's called for Article, well, once again, 25, for Joe Biden, but I do believe that was happening for Reagan. I mean, obviously, that never happened, because I don't know who his vice president was, but he was like, no, he's...
Bush. He became president.
Yeah, but, you know, he didn't invoke Article 25.
No, but you know what the whole odd thing about it is now, honestly, is that we vote for these people. If you don't want them, don't vote for them.
Right.
Correct. See, but the issue is, like, I don't remember. I think under half of the country votes. I could be wrong. It's either, like, just under or just over, one of the two. But, So when just under or just over half of the population votes, and then you have 100% of the population complaining about the politics, there's a problem.
Well, don't complain.
Right.
If you don't vote.
Right.
You see, but like, try explaining that to somebody who doesn't vote.
I don't really think we have to explain it to them. All I'm saying is, for however many people show up at the polls to vote, that's who you elected.
Yep.
If you want a dictator, vote for him. If you want a person who's got dementia, vote for him. These aren't like job interviews. These people, we elect them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. You know, because that's the rub.
Right.
That's the rub we got right now.
Yep.
But, and by the way, neither one of those things are true. That was just facetious. But if you want Biden, vote for him. If you don't want him, don't vote for him. If you want Trump, vote for him. If you don't vote for him. And if you don't vote, then, well, sorry.
That's right.
You're out of luck.
Yeah. Maybe you should have voted in the primary.
Maybe you should have. And we hope the Bratwurst Festival stays whole over in Bucyrus.
Whole and clean.
Maybe somebody should go down to that city council meeting in Bucyrus and shake those people up.
Yeah.
Riot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine the city is going to like that.
No, I can't imagine so. I imagine there's going to be an uproar.
I think so. I think very interesting. And I do want to, by the way, thank Sam Donaldson, Mary Ellen Withrow, Sally Jesse Raphael, Dick Cavett, and Cousin Brucey for calling in this morning. That was all very, very nice. And, of course, Jessica for being here, and Matt and Pastor Craig. And Pastor Craig is up next, and Matt and Carrington and Sean and I will be back tonight, 8 to 10. So stay tuned for much more here on WGH Talk. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Speaking up about a problem, that's what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
OhioNotary.us.